Now, are all the traitors present? Let's get started, shall we?
From rags to riches.
I'm so sick of this.
Working like a dog and being treated worse.
Yorkshire to New York.
We're climbers, you and me.
A life dedicated to revenge.
Let's make this an occasion to remember.
A Woman of Substance on Channel 4. Stream now.
A lot of people are surrounded by technology, but still feel completely alone. We have more ways to connect than ever before. More apps, more platforms, more messages, more noise. But real friendship? Real belonging? That still feels out of reach for so many people. And for so many neurodivergent adults that struggle, it can even be greater. Because once high school ends, the structure ends, the built-in support fades, and suddenly one of the biggest questions becomes, where do I go to find real friendship, real confidence, and real community? Today's guest is going to help us answer these questions in a powerful way. Jamie Pastrano is the co-founder of Synergy and a new social platform designed specifically to help neurodivergent adults begin and build friendships in a safe, structured, and supportive environment. She also is a certified social worker, peer provider, and mother of a son with autism. The mission is both deeply personal and deeply practical. Jamie, thank you so much for being here. I want to just dive into it and ask you, why do so many neurodivergent adults fall into a friendship gap after high school?
Well, thanks for having me, Stacey. It's a great question. I mean, I think the obvious, I think it's a really challenging time, even if you're neurotypical. Mm-hmm. You know, I always kind of joke, it's like Dorothy, you know, leaving Kansas and waking up in Oz. You're completely in a new place. All of a sudden you have responsibilities, you have to reorient. And imagine having to do that when you're also neurodivergent and some of the basics, the basic skills, the basic confidence level isn't there. Really, really challenging. When you're neurodivergent, you oftentimes struggle with a lot of social anxiety, and you oftentimes struggle with the nuances of what to say next. And so it's particularly hard to reinvent yourself and to find your people.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And, you know, it's hard for adults, you know, just in general. Can you imagine if you're struggling with autism, how much more harder it may be? You know, I know a lot of support exists in childhood, but adulthood is a different story. You know, for many neurodivergent adults, you know, that's where the connection really gets harder. You know, what did you see both personally and professionally, you know, that made you realize that this was such a major problem?
So I started to think about it when my son was entering his later high school years. Mm-hmm. And I started to imagine, you know, what his life would be like when he graduated. I knew he didn't want to go to college, but I had started to have these like larger pictures. When he was little, I don't want to say it was easy, but there were one-to-one resources. You know, if he had a foggy brain, we tried hyperbaric. If he had digestion issues, we tried these prescribed diets. But there wasn't really a prescribed diet for what his adult social life would look like. There was no recipe or no answer. And, you know, I always thought my job as a mom is to make sure that my kids are okay when I'm not here. And I didn't have a really rosy picture when I started to imagine what they'd be like, because we provided that social structure for him. Right. And I started to look around, and what I found was that there were these great camps and there were great social skills groups, but they're intermittent. They happen, you know, once a month or once a week. And I have a daughter, his younger sister, who's neurotypical. She relied heavily on apps on her phone to chat away. And I just realized that there wasn't really anything out there that encouraged friendship, that encouraged community for older neurodivergent adults, 18 plus, when school's gone. Yeah. You know, when you're left on your own, what would there be? You're going to go to a social skills group once a week or hang out. That's great.
Yeah.
But oftentimes social anxiety will prevent you from even going there because you're nervous. Or what happens, you know, in those 2 weeks or a month when you're waiting? What are you doing with yourself? What opportunities are there for you to just chat with someone that has similar interests as you? And so, you know, it was really more of a personal journey than a professional one. I wasn't thinking of it through the lens of social worker. I was really thinking of it through the lens of mom.
Yeah.
And why do we not have this? And why do we have these incredible amounts of depression rates and loneliness rates amongst autistic and neurodivergent adults. And the answer that kept coming up was isolation,
Yes.
loneliness, lack of community, lack of friends.
Right. Now, why does so many neurodivergent adults struggle with friendships and belonging after high school? Is there like a main reason that you saw like that it was very common?
I mean, I think there's a few things. I think first is the misconception that autistic and neurodivergent adults don't want the social. So they're a missed out, left out group. That's completely false. Just because you're autistic or neurodivergent does not mean that you don't want friendship. They want it just as much as anybody else. I think that's the first. The second is that there's a lot of social anxiety, and there's also a learned defensiveness. There's rejection sensitivity because you've grown up so often feeling like maybe you don't fit in or feeling like you have to mask or do something differently to look typical or act quote unquote normal. And so, when you have anxiety and then kind of the world around you not really giving you open arms to join, you isolate, you stop trying, and you don't really have the bandwidth to really want to get back in there. And I think the third, which I think is a big one that doesn't get talked about enough, unfortunately, and I could say this definitely applies for my son, there's a bit of a stigma. A lot of times there's if there is an autistic social group or a neurodivergent social group when you're young, 18, 19, 20, and you're not more established in kind of who you are, you feel embarrassed. You want to fit in. You want to act the way everybody else does, and you think that there's something wrong with you because of this label. Obviously, we want to flip that on its head. There's nothing wrong with it. We want there to be an opportunity for people that think differently to be able to connect with people who also think differently without a stigma.
I think that is a huge thing. People for years and decades, people were afraid to just mention that they were indifferent in some way or another because they didn't want to be, stigmatized. And in our world, we have a lot of people that stigmatize. And I feel like it's gotten a little bit better because people have started to do more things to bring out, that, people are all the same. It doesn't matter if one person has autism or if the other person has epilepsy. We're all the same humans. We feel the same. We act, we're very similar beings. And just because someone has a disability or a disorder or has something, it doesn't make them less of a person. And that stigmatism has to just start to diminish, and it has to a degree, but just to a small degree. But we really need to stop, put in, labelizing individuals and really accept people for who they are inside and their heart. And then, some people are good in drawing, some people are good in math, some people are good in different things. There's no reason to stigmatize somebody else. And we have to really make people who have a disorder or a disability, understand that they shouldn't compare themselves. Everybody is different from everybody. And the worst thing one can do is to compare yourself, against somebody else, because honestly, you don't know what that person is going through. And even though they might appear a certain way, that's not the person, that you really think they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's so many nuances to it. There's also a lot of assumptions that unfortunately get made when somebody makes a label. If I say, oh, my son has autism, I've had people go, I'm sorry. I'm like, well, why? Why are you sorry? I didn't say that that means he's unhappy or that it's a problem. It's a description so that people can understand that maybe he needs longer time to process, or maybe he's gonna talk a little bit more about one topic, but that's not something to be sorry for.
I've gotten the same thing. If I've mentioned that I
Yeah.
have epilepsy, someone will say, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Why?"
Why? Right. Why? I mean, if you say I have epilepsy and it's so difficult to manage and I have 20 medicines, then I'll say I'm sorry. But the label shouldn't, I don't want to say shouldn't, we are all human. We make assumptions. The label isn't one directional. It's not intended to be a fact or definitive. It's just a way to describe something. So, obviously in the neurodivergent population, it's a huge group of people that all think differently. You started to say it. I think, breaking it down in its simplest terms, the way we connect and the way we find friends is finding people who like us, understand us, and also share common interests with us, people who like to do the same things. And those things exist, whether you're autistic, ADHD, OCD, neurodivergent, however you want to identify, neurotypical.
Right, exactly. You know that now we live in a world full of social platforms, but being online doesn't always mean feeling understood. Why doesn't traditional social platforms work well with neurodivergent adults?
I think there's a few areas. I think to begin with, most social platforms don't work well with neurotypical adults either. But we where they're geared towards, an addictive kind of quick in and out and a lot of excitement and stimulus. So we can talk about that separately for hours, but really why I don't think they work well for neurodivergent adults is a few things. I think first of all, they oftentimes more than anything lack safety. They're not a verified community. You don't really know who's going to be on the app when you get on the app. And unfortunately, with a vulnerable population, it does leave a lot of people open to people on there with bad intentions. I think that's the obvious. But less obvious are the fact that a lot of these apps are transactional, they're fast-paced, they lack structure, and they do not really provide opportunities for one-to-one deep connections. They oftentimes miss a lot of the important things and what we need to find friendship and community. And they're more geared towards focusing on the things that we get really excited by, the quick hits, the transactional. And that is the last thing that an autistic or neurodivergent adult, ADHD, needs is that speed dating kind of environment.
Yes, I agree. Now, what do most apps get wrong about communication and trust and social safety?
I don't know. I if you don't mind, I'd rather talk about I think what Synchrony does right,
Yeah.
and we can go from there. I think
100%.
that what was that?
I said 100%. Yeah.
I mean, I think the first of all, I think in order for an app to do well and to think about it, you have to think about your core audience and what you're looking to do. So when we developed Synchrony, the first and foremost goal was really to try to bridge a friendship gap and really to try to think about what do neurodivergent adults need in order to find their people. Safety. So we went above and beyond in thinking about that. So we offer a verified community, meaning we take not only the steps of verifying your identity through a third party persona to check that you are who you say you are and you're not a bot, we also offer a second layer of verification through a reference based. So, mom, parent, mom, dad, therapist, coworker, friend, then also will be asked to verify your identity to really show that the person is who they say they are and also has the right intention. So we put that at the first and front and foremost of the platform. So when you come on, that creates an authenticity and a feeling of safeness or a feeling of I can unmask and be myself because I know the other people in this app with me have also been verified. And then we think about things that really foster long-term belonging. And I think what's a very big obvious here are common interests. In the neurodivergent world, particularly in the autism world, common interests hold incredible weight. My daughter's best friends, she's neurotypical, are her complete opposite. But for my son, Jesse, he is all about sports and rap. And regardless of your age and where you live, if you can talk to him about the draft, you're his friend. And that is not unique to my son. It's a very pretty significant assumption that we can make within this population that common interest holds a lot of weight. And so when you're on Synchrony, we verify the community, we put on your For You page people that have already been vetted out to have similar interests as you. And then we ask, what are you looking for? If you're somebody who's incredibly anxious, maybe you just want to explore. Maybe for you just want to go in and poke your head in and see what that's like. And so you'll be matched with other people who are similar. Maybe you just want friendship. Maybe you want a date. And so what you're seeing in your For You page is a very curated, slow-paced list of people who should have similar interests as you, should be there looking for the same things. And you're able to take it at your own pace. You're able to really take in the information, decide what steps you want to take next without the pressured environment of 5,000 DMs coming at you at once and without the swipe right, swipe left culture that we're often used to.
And what makes it different from every other platform out there?
I mean, I think what I just described is probably the biggest differential that we really focused on building community, friendship, focused, and we also focused on the verified community. And another huge differentiator, which I didn't really talk about yet, but once you're on the app, within this neurodivergent community, particularly within autistic adults, there are oftentimes communication struggles. There are some difficulties knowing what to say next. Sometimes there are difficulties figuring out context. What does somebody mean? The land of emojis right now have me confused. Imagine if you're autistic, what that emoji land could look like. And so within the app, on top of the verified community and the focus on common interests, we also offer an on-demand tool that operates like a social coach to help with those interactions, to really directly address social anxiety by providing social coaching in the app on demand if you need it. And
Now,
as info, we named the coach after my son, Jesse.
oh, did you really? Oh,
Yeah.
I love it. I love
It's an
it.
androgynous name, so we can have a girl, Jesse, or a boy, Jesse, which is kind of nice.
That is kind of nice. Now, when how does it help, neurodivergent adults, build friendships in a way that they feel safer, they feel more structured, and they feel less overwhelmed?
Well, I think the first part for safety, I'll break it down, is that once they get in the app, they know that the other person that's in there has also been verified. So they know that they cannot worry about, is this a bot? Is this somebody with bad intentions? That helps. But then I also think what helps is that in the communication and the profile building, we do a pretty deep dive in asking about your preferences. How do you like to communicate? Do you want to disclose your classification? And so when you're on there, you're able to set your terms, set your pace in a way that's very visible to anybody else that you might be matching with. So, when you go on your For You page, you can see that maybe it's John. He also is autistic. He's looking for friendship. And John also likes sports and art. And so you're now coming into the app with a set of rules and criteria. Okay, John's been vetted out. John also wants friends. I know he likes sports. I know he likes art. Now we can talk about these things.
Now, one of the most unique parts of Synergy is that it's optional AI supported communication tool, which you were telling me about just now, Jesse. So can you explain in more detail what is Jesse?
Sure. So, when thinking about building Synchrony, we were thinking about what would be needed. And this really I came a lot from my experience as a mom. I joke with my son, I'm like his social coach. So, mama, what I want to invite so and so for Memorial Day. And I'm like, dude, it's December. Let's think about context. What should we wait? Is this relevant? And I make that, as a joke, but it's really a very common all day, every day thing. And so while it's great to connect two people with each other that want friendship and like the same things, we also want to offer them support if they struggle with knowing what to say next. And so in a conversation, if you're matched, we call our matched member sync mates. So within Synchrony, if you're matched with somebody and you're sync mate and two people are talking, there's a little icon that pops up like a text message in your phone. You're talking, and there's a little icon, a Jesse icon that you can select, and Jesse will pop up. If you select Jesse to assist you in three areas, express yourself. What do I say next? I'm stuck. Help me to understand what's happening, like the emoji example, or maybe somebody called you cutie and you're curious if they're flirting. So you can get some guidance there. And then last but not least is boundary setting. So maybe you're talking with one of your sync mates and this person's talking too much about religion or politics and you're looking to politely exit that conversation. You can select Jesse and clarify what you're looking for help with, and Jesse can give you contextual social coaching cues that you can choose to use if you'd like to. You can insert them directly within your conversation or message. You can ask for more guidance, or if you don't like the coaching advice, you can type in what you'd like.
I like that. So a lot of people hear AI and immediately worry that it's going to replace human connection. How do you make sure that it doesn't do the opposite, that it actually supports people and building real relationships?
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't expect to hear that as a feedback because of the way the origin of why we came up with the social coach. We initially wanted live bodies to do the coaching to be able to give that support, but realized we couldn't scale if it were actual people. So for us, the way we do that is a couple of things. First of all, the AI on-demand social coach is exactly that. It is optional. It is on demand. So you can choose to use it or you cannot. And it's also contextual. Jesse is not a therapist. Jesse is not at all designed to replace friendship or connection. In fact, if somebody tries to ask Jesse a question that is not in context of a conversation with another sync mate, Jesse will not answer that question. The tool is really there to help two real people further conversations and connect.
I love that. Now, this didn't come from theory. It came from a real life story. You're not just a founder, you're also a mother who saw this gap firsthand. Like,
Yes.
how did your experience with your son shape your vision for Synchrony?
I mean, that's such a great question in every way. In every way, it started really out of, I think, out of the origin of seeing and worrying about what his adult social life would be like. But really, where it expanded was thinking about, well, I can solve the problem for just my son, but my son is one person. It's much larger than just about my son. We live in Manhattan. He's fortunate that he does have a lot of social opportunities. It got me thinking about the larger population. And Synchrony wasn't built for my son. It was built out of seeing this gap. And the more I started to see the gap and explore the gap, the more I realized how pervasive it was and how much worse it was for so many other adults not living in urban cities, not easily connected, and maybe people without the large families and communities and natural supports that we have. It shaped it in every way. And as I mentioned, with my son asking me all the time for how to type a text or what to say, it got me thinking about the fact that you don't only need to connect people with each other, but you need to also address that social anxiety by offering them support tools if they want them.
Now, let's make this real. If someone was listening right now and feels isolated or disconnected, what are three small steps that they can take this week to start building friendships and confidence?
Well, I am not a therapist, and I don't want to take a shameless plug for my app, not knowing anything about who they are. What I would say, just, mom, friend, person, empath, social worker at heart, is what I would say is to take the smallest step to think about what's one thing or one area in which somebody would be comfortable and feel supported. So maybe somebody loves to read. Maybe it's reaching out and going to a book club meeting. Maybe it's reaching out to a friend and talking about a common interest, setting a goal that is anchored in something that you like and something that you're comfortable in, I think is always a good first step.
Oh, I agree completely. And for parents listening, what should they understand about helping their child prepare, not just for work or independence, but for belonging?
Well, I think it's really like anything else with parents. I think you want to make sure that you let them know what to expect and let them know that it's okay to feel displaced. Whether you're neurotypical, you're neurodivergent, it's a really stressful time to deal with change. Even if it's changing to high school or going into adulthood, taking kind of the neurodivergence out of there, just real life, change is hard. It's normal to feel stressed. It's normal to feel anxious. Feelings are not facts, they're just feelings. And it's okay. We all have the tools to manage the feelings, not to run away from them, not to feel ashamed of them, but to try to find someone to talk to about it, even if it's a pen and notebook, and to not try to act strong and act like everything's okay because you're afraid to disappoint. So as a parent, I always say, oh my gosh, I'm so worried about this, or I feel so nervous about this. So they hear the normal, seeing the language.
I agree. At some point, this becomes more than just about making friends. It becomes identity. Like, how does someone go from I don't fit in to I belong and I deserve real connection?
Well, I think they do, right? I mean, I think a lot of that is the messaging. Friendship and community isn't a nice to have, it's really a right to have. And I think, the key to anyone's mental health status is a feeling of belonging. I don't think you can be happy if you're married and have money, but you don't feel like you belong.
Exactly.
So I think it's a shift in mindset. It's to me, it's the thing that we all need. And without that, all these other tangibles are useless. How do you focus on getting a good job and money without focusing on really having meaningful belonging? It could be, belonging is defined by different people. For me, in building Synchrony, belonging was geared towards a group of neurodivergent adults that have struggled, thinking of my son. So that's for them. But, if you're not neurodivergent, maybe belonging for you is, a local temple or a local church or your gym, but it's still a place where you go, you feel that you can connect with people who see things similarly as you and share interests.
100%. Now tell us a little about your app, where they can find it, and give us all the information, because this
Sure,
is
sure. So
amazing.
Synchrony just launched last month. We're super excited about it. You can find us at joinsynchrony.com. There'll be a barcode right on the app for you to download the app. We are all over social, same handle, joinsynchrony. And as I mentioned, it's important for anybody that is interested, whether it be for their adult child or a friend or for themselves, to remember that we are a verified community. So we want you to be comfortable and confident and be prepared to verify your identity and provide a reference that can do the same.
I love it. I love it. Now tell us where they can find you.
Me. They can find me on the app. If you hit contact us, it's me as a co-founder. There is no corporate above us at this point, but also on LinkedIn, I am Jamie Pastrano, and Join Synchrony will take you directly to me. As the mom and co-founder, it's hard not to find me if you type in the words Join Synchrony.
And if they want to type your website, can you give everybody the
So it's
URL?
www.joinsynchrony.com.
I love it. Now, before we go, is there any message that you'd like people to walk away with before we end this session?
I mean, a couple. I think, building community and finding your people is really important. It's really challenging. And I want anybody that knows anybody that's struggling to find friendship or community to feel hopeful and look towards us so that they can connect with people that are similar in a low pressured way. And I think it's also important for people to know that as we're growing our community, we have an early access launch phase. So we are free to explore, free to check us out for at least the next few months. And so we really encourage anybody even thinking about the idea of feeling a little lonely or looking for a friend to explore Synchrony.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I just want listeners to know that this isn't just about an app. It's about solving a problem that so many people live with every day: loneliness, isolation, disconnection, and creating a world where people feel seen, supported, and able to really have meaningful friendships. I just want to thank you so much for coming on this show. It's so hard. People don't realize, but it's so hard to have a life where you have a child that has any type of disability or disorder or even a disease, and you're a caretaker, and it's a very emotional. It's a lot. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with it, and through all the obstacles that you had to do, you still, you focused on the positive, and you were able to really create something really beautiful with this app. You're given the opportunity to help others, people with autism, to learn how to communicate, to learn to feel, and to feel accepted, to feel loved by others, to have that friendship that they might be lacking in our world because of the way our world is. We have titles, we have stigmatism, like we talked about. We have, all these, identity issues that people, have developed, because everything, there's a title for everything, and it shouldn't be, but I want to thank you for really overcoming the crisis, really focusing on the obstacle, and then really turning it into something beautiful, which is an opportunity to create the app. So, people with autism could actually have friendships and overcome any type of loneliness, and feel accepted in a society where we don't always feel accepted. So this is, I just want to say thank you for doing what you're
Well,
doing.
thank you for beautifully articulating that and for having me on here to share my story and to share Synchrony with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being you, and thank you for sharing your story. I really appreciate you, and I thank you for being here.
Thank you, Stacey.